Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up today, and I hope you enjoy the show. So they found an underground city at the bottom of a pothole in Pendleton several years ago. And this is one of the great unknown stories about Oregon. There were tunnels under there that contained entire businesses and residences that were once used by Chinese residents to avoid contact with liquored-up cowboys. Today they're a popular tourist attraction for the city. This story was first published on January 31st of 2010. Here we go. Sometime in the 1980s, the first mysterious pothole appeared in a street in Pendleton. More soon followed. These weren't like other potholes, as the city crews discovered when they arrived to fix them. In fact, at the bottom of them was an underground city, complete with businesses, both legal and illegal, all connected by tunnels. For several decades around the turn of the 20th century, there were two towns in Pendleton, one above the soil line for all to see, and one below it, known only to the chosen few. The underground town got its start in the late 1800s. At that time, the hard work of building the railroads was mostly finished. The Transcontinental Railroad line linked Portland to the East Coast in 1883. So the country no longer needed the thousands of Chinese workers who had helped build them. They had gone from providing a valuable service to a new nation to competing with native sons, quote, native sons, for jobs and depressing the wages, in the popular view. The climate in the U.S., never warm and friendly for the Chinese, was becoming downright hostile. Crimes against Chinese people were not prosecuted. The Chinese Exclusion Act and other laws like it were promulgated, prohibiting them from becoming citizens or owning land and blocking further immigration. Residents of West Coast cities such as Tacoma and Sacramento started forming mobs and running them out of town. It wasn't a full-blown pogrom, but it could easily have become one at any time, and only an idiot would just sit back and wait for that to happen. The Chinese in America were not idiots. In various cities, they responded to this official and unofficial persecution by forming self-sufficient ghettos, Chinatowns, and keeping such a low profile that today, the official estimate of how many Chinese there were in Oregon, 150,000, is nothing but a wild guess. No one really knows. In Pendleton, the Chinese had an additional challenge, though. Cowboys. These tended to get liquored up and commit crimes after sunset. Chinese people were very appealing as victims for these crimes because one could do all sorts of things to them, up to and including murder in some circumstances, without fear of punishment. And they were easily identifiable. It soon became an unofficial rule that Chinese people needed to be off the streets by sundown. In some places in Oregon, that rule actually became official. So to facilitate after-dark movement from one Chinese-owned business to another, access tunnels were dug and added onto and expanded. The tunnels became very useful for illegal businesses such as opium dens and brothels, which were built either entirely underground or with a concealed entrance to the tunnels through which personnel might flee in the event of a police raid. After the Volstead Act kicked off Prohibition in 1919, the tunnels became even more useful for this, especially the tunnel that led to the airport. Yet the tunnels remained, for the most part, a Chinese community secret, until those potholes started to appear. Today you can take a tour of these tunnels, guided by an actual historian. It includes both legal and illegal businesses operated entirely underground. Opium dens, laundries, apothecary shops, everything a Chinese fellow might need after dark in a hostile foreign land. Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a series of live history shows, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other visual goodies that go with today's show are at offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do this for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations. But if you enjoy Offbeat Oregon History and you'd like to support it, you can always pick up a copy of my book. If you enjoy the show, I can pretty much guarantee you'll enjoy the book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and they're available at community bookstores, or you can order a signed copy from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. We can grab a cup of coffee maybe and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Until then, go ahead and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.